morning, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, at 90.7 FM. Today is Tuesday, March 24th, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
Secretary of State Kate Brown wants to clean up Oregon's petition mill.
While other newspapers around Greater Cascadia are folding, the Oregonian is digging in for the duration.
And President Obama rolls out his plan to save us from ourselves, or at least from the Republicans.
Portland area weather, cool and damp, showers, temperatures in the 40s. Tonight, mostly cloudy, rain, lows in the mid-30s to lower 40s, and then tomorrow, more of the same.
And first we go to regional news from around Cascadia. As the nation staggers from foreclosure to foreclosure, more people are imagining themselves saying to hell with the whole system and building their own house. And there are others who are beyond the imagination stage and are actually doing that. For these builders, cob structures make the most sense in so many ways. My guest this morning builds cob houses and can teach you to do so also. He has in hand a local enterprise that is all about cob building. Welcome, Scott Howard. Thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me, Chris.
Well, first off, can you tell listeners what exactly a cob house is? There are a lot of people out there who think it's maybe made out of corn cobs.
Yeah, that is a common misunderstanding. Cob is a word that comes from Wales and refers to an earthen material made of sand and clay and straw. That word has been popularized in the Northwest also by a cob cottage company. A guy came over from Wales and is now teaching in the Northwest. He's inspired a lot of people. His name is Yanto Evans. And there are a number of other wall systems that are very similar to cob all around the world. So right now, we're using cob as sort of the catch-all phrase for all of these systems. People often recognize it in Portland.
So what are the advantages of a cob structure, a cob house?
There are a lot of advantages. I'd say, firstly, the material itself comes from the site where you're building. That's the number one thing. So you're saving a lot of energy in transporting materials. And also, cob is really great at absorbing the sun's energy throughout the day. So buildings tend to heat themselves. And also, they last a really long time. If you give your cob house a good set of boots and a really good hat to protect it from the elements, then those earthen walls will last hundreds, if not thousands, of years.
And cost? Suppose you wanted to build, you know, a cottage, say, I don't know, 1,000 square feet or less. Could you do that, and what would it cost?
That is the first question that everyone asks me these days. And I'm doing everything I can to offer small earthen buildings at a competitive price to these modern prefabricated materials. Excuse me. And so I believe that my buildings are competitive with these modern materials in cost, which is something that's very difficult to do because the costs are artificially low for these materials, which actually tax our environment and our ecosystems. So building with earth is many times more efficient than building with these other materials such as wood, because you're saving the environment, you're saving the transportation costs of materials, and you're also using less machines and more human power.
And we don't seem to have to come to terms exactly with what you're talking about, the subsidized costs, the fact that we maintain a vast standing army so we have enough oil to produce fuel to go get all of these things. Now we've cut down most of our forests as well without that cob structure.
I sure can. I'm offering a weekend workshop series this spring in May and June and July. And I'm inviting everyone to attend. I'm offering it on the weekends for people who work during the week, and you can attend some of those workshops or all of them. Please go to my website at www.earthenhand.com. That's earthen as in made of earth, And I'm offering a number of other workshops also. There's one weekend just for the basics of Cobb, and then the workshop series actually covers start to finish, from foundations all the way through a living roof, so you can learn all the parts of constructing your own Cobb house.
And they're beautiful, too. They're beautiful structures.
Yeah, and that's really what drew me to it in the first place, was the artistic possibilities of this sculptural architecture and the beauty, all of that, the expression.
So you're living inside a beautiful piece of handmade sculpture, really. Well, Scott, thank you so much. My guest has been Scott Howard of Earth and Hand. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you so much, Chris.
The Oregon Environment Council is staging a series of low-impact development workshops in Oregon's growing communities. The workshops cover sustainable stormwater management practices to protect watersheds from urban runoff. They target builders, developers, engineers, elected officials, and others involved in urban planning and development.
The Oregonian newspaper said yesterday that it will keep publishing. But there are going to be cost reduction measures that include pay cuts, furloughs, and layoffs of part-time employees to keep the company profitable in a difficult economic climate. Whatever you think of the Oregonian, this is a positive sign that Cascadia still values newsprint.
With Intel sales plummeting and its shares trading at 1997 levels, 99% of employees' stock options are worthless. So the company said yesterday that it wants to offer workers a bailout of sorts. Intel proposed allowing employees to exchange their underwater stock options for fewer options at a lower exercise price. If shareholders approve, the company hopes to restore options incentive value at a time when it's freezing pay across the company, cutting jobs and trimming other perks.
Well, it's a start. Shame on you, Oregon. It's time to turn in your green card. The U.S. Forest Service has awarded more contracts funded by federal economic stimulus funds to reduce wildfire danger in Oregon, and that means logging. And at a time when there is no market for lumber, so where's the stimulus in that? The Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest announced today that it is going to hand out a contract to Loma Katsi Restoration Project. Grayback Forestry of Merlin and Diamond Fire in Sutherland also are recipients of stimulus handouts.
Oregon has one of the least restrictive citizen ballot initiative systems in the country. Secretary of State Kate Brown said yesterday that she wants it to be one of the cleanest also. Brown sent lawmakers a proposal that would require signature gatherers to register and take a training course earlier in the process. Also, signatures would be tossed if found to have been collected by somebody convicted of fraud, forgery, or identity theft.
And this one is just sad. Medford job seeker Joshua Berger figured he had to do something to make his resume stand out from the pack. So he tricked himself out with a sandwich board sign listing his qualifications. Berger spent one day last week advertising himself at a busy Medford intersection. Did the tactic work? Berger, who was laid off in January from his job as an airplane engine mechanic, has been invited to interview this week for a dispatcher position with the Veterans Affairs Domiciliary Police Force. Way to go, Berger.
Killing is their business, and business is good. In hard times, military recruiting is like shooting fish in a barrel. This year, more Oregon Army National Guard soldiers will head for war than at any time since World War II. And more people are signing up and re-enlisting than ever. Oregon posted a record high number of recruits in February as enlistments also rose nationally. The Oregon Guard also led all states for reenlistments last month, with 208 soldiers re-upping.
The Pacific Northwest was once a guiding light in the labor movement. Not so now. In Washington, a union-friendly bill was killed amid political controversy. The argument was that the mandatory meeting bill would not have become law anyway because of negative effects on the Boeing Company. Boeing and other business interests lobbied hard to oppose the measure.
In Idaho, seven former administrators of the Palouse Ranger District are blasting a U.S. Forest Service plan to trade 28,000 acres of managed forests for about 39,000 acres of logged-over timber company land in northern Idaho. John Krebs, a retired Forest Service employee, said the plan is fundamentally flawed because much of the public land has been carefully managed for the public's use.
Is it just me, or does it seem like Oregon sort of falling behind in its green credentials? Secretary of State Kate Brown is looking to further regulate Oregon's initiative process. Questions concerning... We had this story just a moment ago. Go ahead, Liam.
You better watch your crabs. Crab theft has hit Oregon. An Oregon skipper has pleaded guilty to stealing 175 commercial crab pots at the close of last year's Dungeness crab season. Besides charge of theft and aggravated theft, Perry Canuri pleaded guilty to one count of wasting 610 pounds of crab.
It's desperation all around. President Obama has a plan to fix the economy by fixing schools, health care, and capping out and trading our way to a better environment. So far, the markets like it, despite the rabid, foaming-at-the-mouth response of the Republican pundits. The only trouble is that this is a delicate, dangerous move, and if anything at all goes wrong, Democrats, meaning, of course, Barack Obama, will be left holding the bag of GOP poo. KBOO Spencer Raymond has been studying this strange phenomena for at least a week now. Good morning, Spencer. What do you make of this week and the market's response to the political scene?
Yeah, good morning, Chris. Well, the Dow has just made an unbelievable gain in the last 10 days, about 500 points up. Just in that time span, and it really was what capped off yesterday with a big game after Obama and his administration announced plans to put $1 trillion towards buying those troubled assets, these things that we've been talking about all along that have created these problems. And Wall Street is loving it. Today, not so much. It's down about 24 points right now, but it looks like Wall Street is sold on this idea of using the government money to buy the troubled assets. And let's talk about that a little more. These troubled assets are the things, that's the best way to describe them, that the banks own that are basically bad possessions in a monetary sense. Because they have those, that lowers the value of the bank and it makes them much less desirable as lenders. And so if the banks can get rid of these by the government buying them, for instance, as the Obama administration is planning, then the banks can look better on paper, they can act better, and then they can ultimately become become lenders easier, and people will want to borrow from them because the banks look more trustworthy. But, Chris, I think the bottom line here is that it took a while for these bailouts to be rolled through, for the Obama plan to be really made public, and for a long time Wall Street was not a fan of this, but yesterday, as I said, this $1 trillion proposal, the guys down in New York are liking it.
And it seems, too, that where it looked for a moment that like Wall Street was driving policy in Washington, D.C., it now there's been a bit of a turn. That was last week was not a good moment for people who like to believe that really government is doing the best that it can. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner has asked Congress today for broad new powers to regulate non-bank financial companies like AIG. That's something that do not have time to get into right now. We'll talk about that tomorrow. That, of course, was KBOO Spencer Raymond. Thanks so much for that, Spencer.
Thanks, Chris.
A Detroit couple accused of trying to cremate their slain 2-year-old son on a barbecue grill and then collecting his welfare benefits have pleaded guilty in a deal with prosecutors. No word on whether the couple plan to use the barbecue again next season. This has been headlines and commentary from Air Cascadia for Tuesday, March 24, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Janet Anderson. The KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, Flashpoints. Greg Powis on the anniversary of the Exxon Valdez spill and the economic meltdown, and a short interview with Malik Rahim of the Common Ground Relief.
Thanks so much for listening and have a good day.